Previously on, but you're wrong.
He's reading comic books, and I mean, he's making dick jokes with his friend that isn't even in the same room. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've never met the guy, so I think he might just be talking to the other Skype test voice.
As far as she knows, I don't even exist.
She probably thinks I'm doing both voices.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All right, we're live. Well, not really. But we will be. Well, no. See, even next week when we record live, we won't be live.
We really won't be live.
I did figure out my story that I'm going to tell in front of everybody next week. Cuz I figure we should do some prep and come on with something prepared and have something like good and entertaining. Yeah. So I thought of a story that I don't think I completely forgot about. That happened to me in like first grade that I think will be entertaining and interesting.
Part of your origin story?
I don't know if it's really part of my origin story. But it's interesting and funny, and I think it's very interesting.
Okay. I'm down.
So I got a little something. If you want to think of a kind of a random story. Mine's kind of along the lines of the SI for Kids porno mag story.
Nice. Those are the best.
But it predates that by several years.
Okay.
By at least 3 years. But it's not like I'm retconning here. The story I told was still my first experience with a porno mag, but it kind of all ties together. It'll make more sense in a bit.
Okay.
When you hear it, you'll go, okay, I get it. I'm with you.
I am looking forward to it.
And not just to get all sorts of nuts.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good part.
So how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you? How's your week been so far?
I can't really complain. For reasons that you know, but I will eventually probably share, I shaved my goatee today for the first time in 8.5 years. It doesn't look bad. It's just very weird.
Hmm. I can't imagine you without... I've never known you without a goatee.
Yeah.
Or any sort of facial hair.
It's unusual. My chin is just very breezy.
Breezy.
I just... A lot of wind... Slightest wind going past my chin, I feel it. It's very bizarre. But, you know, these things happen. It'll grow back. One day.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna start regrowing it for next week. So I don't scare people, but...
That would be good.
Also, because I'm visiting family, and my niece may be very disturbed by the fact that Uncle Keith no longer has a goatee.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad has pretty much always had a beard, and I remember one time when me and my sister was still pretty young, he shaved it off, and my sister freaked out, like she started crying and everything. It was very traumatic.
Hmm.
I did not cry, although I did think he looked weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame you. You cried a little bit, obviously, but at night into your pillow.
Inside.
Yeah.
By myself.
It still bothers you today.
I think about it every once in a while. Yeah. Obviously, I just mentioned it.
You have nightmares where your dad doesn't have a beard. And wants
he just paint. Comes down the stairs and I'm like, ah, clean shaven.
No. He wants to shave you. For some reason.
All right, we're done here.
He's going, one of us, one of us. Anyway, so I got a little distracted the past few days thinking about our match game idea.
Oh, yeah.
On bringing it back. Rachel was watching a wonderful program that jogged my memory to Match Game, and we were trying to look for the gay gentleman of our panel, yeah. The Charles Nelson Reilly, if you will.
Right.
Tim Gunn. Project Runway.
You know, I'm sorry. See, I don't have a girlfriend, so I don't get stuck watching this shit.
Here's the thing. He's kind of entertaining on that show. I've seen him on like Conan and other talk shows, and people that I follow have retweeted some of his tweets.
Yeah,
and there's some funny stuff in there. So I think he has potential to be entertaining.
Okay.
And I'm assuming he's gay.
I mean, well, I guess I don't know anything about him.
Let's see. Hang on. I'm looking it up real quick. Oh, actually, he identifies as asexual. Oh, look at this. Someone created a little event for my return. Oh, is it really his birthday?
It is.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's going to be an event-filled weekend.
Nice.
And Iron Man.
Wait, do I just join? What is this?
Yeah, you better join.
But I'm trying to... I just want to say, will it be attending? Do I say join now?
Oh, no, I think... Well, no, it's an event. It's not a group, so you can just say...
Well, no, here's the thing. It says join, maybe decline.
Well, hit join.
Did you create a group instead of a...
No, not again. I didn't do it again. I know, no, it's, right. It's an you're event. Right. It's an event. Event.
I'll join. Yeah,
join.
That's weird that they do that.
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't say attending.
Fucking assholes. Fucking Facebook. Facebook is pissing me off.
Ooh, Keith Bedaler is going to the event.
I better be. I'm part of the reason it's there.
Yeah, I know. Your name is in the title. You should be. You should be there.
Yeah. So where were we? Oh, so, okay, so I think Tim Gunn, I'm thinking, will be our Charles Nelson Reilly.
Okay.
And then I don't know who his Brett Summers is yet, still working on that, and then we alternate in other people, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna try and figure out who has the rights to it, and then find somebody with money to buy the rights, and then I'm thinking a web series. Fuck TV. Let's go web series on this.
What about doing it on like Netflix or something?
Oh, they are getting into the original programming.
Yeah, because they're doing. Well, see, I was going to say they're doing the Arrested Development. Although, can you necessarily call that original programming because it used to be on Fox?
Well, that's a good point.
But anyways, they're having a TV show that's not, you know. It's new.
Well, they were having House of Cards, which I still haven't watched yet, and I think
they launched
something, Hemlock Grove, I think it's called.
I heard House of Cards is supposed to be good.
Yeah, I haven't sat down and watched it yet because I hear it takes a couple episodes to get into, so I want to be able to sit down for like a couple hours and watch it.
Right.
Because I feel like if I watch the first one, I'm gonna be like, eh. So I want to be able to watch the first couple.
Yeah.
Hemlock Grove. There's another one I think they're coming out with soon, too. Besides Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Amazon's getting into the game, though, too.
Oh, really?
If you go on Amazon, on their instant video app, on anything, or I'm sure you can get on the website, too. They released 14 pilots. Because now they're trying to get into original programming.
Okay.
So they have 14 pilots available to watch, and then I guess based on people's reactions to them, that's how they decide what gets made.
Yeah.
So two of the shows actually interested me a bit. One is a television version of the movie Zombieland.
Okay.
Which I have my doubts about, but I would like to see it.
Was it going to be just like a goofy version of The Walking Dead, I guess?
Well, I imagine I think they're going for exactly the movie. I think it's going to be the continuing story of those four characters from the movie.
You think they'll get Woody?
No, they're not getting Woody.
Yeah, Woody's too good for that.
I mean, they replaced them all.
Okay. Well, I knew they weren't going to get Emma Stone.
But yeah, well, yeah, and the what's his face? The kid.
Oh, the fake Michael Cera?
Yeah. I want to say Eisenberg, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong. Jesse Eisenberg. Okay. He went on to do fucking Social Network, so he's not going to do it.
No.
So, and I think the little girl went on and did, like, bigger stuff after this. So, I think they are... Anyway, they're following those four characters still.
Hmm.
And then there's another one called... Fuck, what's it called? Alpha? I want to say Alpha House? That's about, I think, it's a more political... centric story, and it stars John Goodman.
Oh.
And I love me some John Goodman.
It's funny how John Goodman later in his career has had, I don't know, I feel like he's having a little bit of a renaissance of his career, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely doing some better stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because for the longest time, he really only had, like, one real good thing to his name, and that was the Big Lebowski. And, I mean, people watched Roseanne, but Roseanne was stupid.
I think people liked him for Roseanne for a long time.
Yeah, but I feel like...
And then he had Big Lebowski.
Wait, didn't he do that Babe Ruth movie, and he played Babe Ruth? I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm saying I think that happened.
Yes. Yes, okay. that happened in 92.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. He was in The Big Lebowski. He was in Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? He was in Coyote Ugly.
I don't even remember that. I don't even really remember the movie.
The only thing I remember about the movie is that they were dancing on the bar, and that's it.
Yeah, but you could have gotten that from the trailer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it at some point, though.
I did, too, but I was in high school, and I think we were just stupid and drunk, and it was just on. It happened to be on.
I think I saw it in college, but pretty much the same. Everything else applies to that, just being stupid and drunk. Yeah, and it was on. Yeah, and then he didn't do anything, really, for a long time. Like, I mean, he did stuff, and he was in... like he was in Beyond the Sea, the biopic about
Bobby Darin.
Thank you. He did a voice in Cars. He was in he was in the live action version of The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about that a while ago.
Yeah.
He played Santa Claus, actually.
Oh, wow.
He did a voice in B-Movie, the Seinfeld animated movie.
With the bees.
Mm-hmm. Confessions of a Shopaholic. I feel like did I see that? No, I didn't. No, I definitely didn't. Because it says, is it 2009 American romantic comedy? So right there, the odds are very slim. But it starred Ilsa Fisher. So no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that.
And then all of a sudden, 2011, he was in The Artist. He was in Red State. Very good in Red State. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. He did a voice in Paranorman. He made a cameo in The Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Trouble with the Curve, which I didn't see, but that's the... that's the baseball one with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was in Argo.
Yep. He was in Flight, too, right?
Yep, he was in Flights. He's in the next Coen Brothers movie. He's in The Hangover Part 3.
Yeah.
And he's in The Internship.
Well, I definitely think he's had a little bit of a renaissance here. A little bit of an uptick in his... the quality of film he's been in.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think he probably had a nice bump because in 2010 to 2011, he was in Tremé, the HBO series about New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I only watched the first season of that. But he was very good in that.
Yeah, I do not recall.
Well, that's all you need to know is he was very good in that. And then he was in a few episodes of Community. And now he was in Alpha House, which is the Amazon pilot. But I agree. Yeah, he's having a bit of a renaissance.
Resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very good.
He is a good actor.
I there's a lot of stuff that he does that I just really enjoy.
Yeah.
And I like when he does like a cameo in a TV show. And you're just like, holy shit, that's fucking John Goodman.
He's one of those guys that everyone recognizes. Like, no one's ever like, oh, wait, you know, like, you know, no one, whenever he shows up, no one's like, yeah, I don't know who that is. It's always just like, oh, wait, it's John Goodman. Remember him?
Yeah, but you're never distracted by the fact that it's John Goodman.
No. I mean? It never takes away from the scene or anything, but you're always like, oh, hey, look who it is.
Because there are always those people that you see in a movie or TV show and you're like, holy shit, that's, you know, so-and-so, and then you're just distracted by that.
Yeah.
Like, I finally watched Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good. I don't know where I would put it in my Tarantino. It's Inglourious Basterds is still my favorite, I think, followed by Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Probably then followed by Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
I think, actually, Django Unchained might be one of my least favorite.
Really?
I think it might go above Jackie Brown. Although I do enjoy Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
I kind of almost don't care about certain people. I'm going to blame part of it on Jamie Foxx.
Hmm.
I mean, Christoph Waltz is fantastic in it, as always.
Yeah.
And I mean, you would think that I would complain because it's almost a 3-hour movie. But I could maybe, if you pushed me to it, I could probably cut 15 minutes of it, but that's about it.
Okay. So it's not like egregious in its length.
No, I could maybe cut down 15 minutes if I had to. But really, there's nothing right away that I would be like, we have to cut this scene.
Yeah.
My one complaint, besides just it kind of falling flat to me, and I partially blame Jamie Foxx, because he carries the lead role,
mm-hmm.
is there's a scene, and I'm not ruining anything about the story, but Tarantino has himself in the scene, and It really takes me out of it.
Him being in it takes you out of it?
He's in the scene and he does like an Australian accent.
Yeah.
And that just really takes me out of the movie. And it's in the second half and it just really kind of distracts me from the movie.
I mean, I know, like, I get why he wants to put himself in the movies. Unfortunately, he's not really a great actor, and he does kind of take you, like, no matter what, he kind of takes you a little out of it. Even when it's the least, like, even like in Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs, you're like, oh yeah, look, it's Tarantino, you know, it's like a novelty.
Well, it doesn't, those two, yeah, it really doesn't take me out of. I think now, because I'm so familiar with him, and also he's put on a little weight.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but I'm just saying, like, I don't see him that often, but I'm, like, aware of him, and I always have this image of him being a lot younger, being in Pulp Fiction and shit.
Right.
And he's pretty thin, and he's put on maybe an extra, you know, like, 15 pounds. But yeah, during that scene, you're like, ah, man, Tarantino's getting old, and he's doing an Australian accent, and I mean, I think it's an all right Australian accent. It's not fantastic, but
yeah.
And to me, I'm just like, why do you put himself in this scene? Because also in that scene, in a slightly smaller role, is Michael Parks. And Michael Parks, do you know who he is?
I'm not sure, no.
He was, you'll know him as, you've seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes, I have seen it.
Dusk Till Dawn, he is the sheriff at the beginning that basically opens the movie. And he has that speech with the convenience store guy before George Clooney kills him. And he's the cop at the beginning of Kill Bill Volume 2, the sheriff that comes in.
That goes to talk to Michael Madsen?
No, I don't think he talks to Michael Madsen, but he's the one at the wedding scene at the beginning of the second one. I think it's the beginning of the second one.
Okay.
I'm
sure I'd know him if I saw him.
Yeah, and he plays the antagonist in Red State, too. He's the main preacher guy. He's a fantastic actor, very underrated, but when you see him and stuff, you're like, wow, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in that scene, but he's to a lesser extent than Quentin Tarantino is. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like, and for most people, it probably doesn't bother them as much, but I'm just like, I would have put Michael Parks in that scene. As that kind of almost pivotal role. But I'm sure there was a reason, and I'm sure there's stuff that was probably cut out a little bit. And maybe there was even a thing where somebody else was supposed to be in that role in the last minute. They had to drop out, and Tarantino just threw himself in there because he knew the lines or whatever. But my point being, in all that shit, is there are people that you see that when you see them in a role, you can only think of, oh, that's that guy, that's the character, and that is not John Goodman.
Mm. No, okay, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah. He has for being a very recognizable person, he has kind of a range too.
Yeah,
yeah. So
Amazon has those pilots that you can watch, and I think I'm going to check a couple out. It looked like a lot of them were created by people who have created a lot of, like, other award-winning series and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I mean, Netflix definitely has the money to try and bring these people on and get them to try something new, you know?
Yeah, and Amazon definitely does, too.
Amazon, too, yeah.
I'm curious, because right now it's part of their instant video package, which you, I thought, only got when you subscribe to Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if at some point they're going to break it off and say you can get, like, the Prime with the free 2-day shipping and, like, all this other stuff, plus the instant video for this price, or you can get just the instant video.
Right.
I would imagine they would probably do that if they're getting into original programming.
Yeah. Yeah. It would just be kind of like the split with Netflix with the, you can get the instant, you can get the discs, or you can get both or whatever.
Yeah. Cause I mean, Amazon Prime is what, like $60 for a year?
Yeah. 60s or 70. Yeah.
And I think Netflix instant is like $10. For a year? Or no, I'm sorry, it's $10. Oh no, you know, it's $10 a month, but you get a lot. I feel like you get a lot more than you get with the Amazon.
Yeah, I think I pay like something like $7 a month for just the instant. No discs.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Or if they make you get the, or if they break it down into a monthly, even.
Yeah, they could do that too.
So then it's, because then it'd just be like $5, $5 a month for the Amazon.
And that's really not bad when you think about it.
Plus, you're getting the free shipping. How do they do that? That's insane. Is that actually 60? You do it, right?
Yeah, it might be 70.
Still.
Yeah, I know.
That's fucking nuts. So how do we get on? Oh, because we were trying to find a, we were trying to find where we were going to launch Match Game.
Oh yeah, Match Game.
Yeah, that's how all this started. Then that's like half the show right there. So do you want to do your article, or do you want to follow up on the North Pond Hermit?
Totally up to you. Mine might not have. It's definitely got a little bit of potential here. I mean, there's definitely some to talk about.
Let's, you know what? Let's go with yours. Let's go with yours.
All right.
Because I gotta, I have to find my phone to play the song that they did about him. And I mean, I could do that, but if you have yours handy, then we'll go with that.
I've got it, sir. So, this is a, this is a good little story. I found this on The Drudge. Ooh. Actually, I give credit.
I said, ooh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's provocative.
Ooh.
So, let's see. Not, no, enough like or follow. I'm not following you. Anyways, a Vietnamese man is under arrest after local police found 53 king cobras in his car. Police in Hanoi arrested 30-year-old Nguyen Van Hai on Friday for attempting to transport 53 king cobras from the northern province of Vĩnh Phúc to Hanoi. The Vietnamese news agency reported Monday. Hai claims that he was paid the equivalent of less than 50 American dollars to transport the snakes.
Less than 50 American dollars?
Less than 50 American dollars. Now, I'm sure that 50 American dollars in Vietnam is worth a lot more than $50 here.
Well, yeah, but still. So wait, how many snakes was it?
53 king cobras.
Okay,
in his car.
King cobras are the most poisonous, right?
They are quite poisonous from what I understand.
All right, hang on. Let's look this up, because right now he is being paid less than a dollar, and I don't care what the exchange rate is. He's being paid less than a dollar a snake that could kill him.
Yes,
quite easily.
Yeah. Also, how big do you think this car is?
Oh, it's probably like a Honda hatchback.
And I mean, do you how well do you think these snakes are being, you know, held? I mean, I don't know. I bet at best they're in like pillowcases.
Well, you know what? No, I'm going to say they're in a cardboard box. It's not. They didn't even bend the flaps in, though, to try and close it up.
No, they didn't even like.
They didn't even bend the top to try and half. Yeah, close
so it's all interlocking flaps.
Yeah. No, they just like closed it up and said, "Here you go." Plus, you got to figure roads probably aren't that good. And
definitely not.
I bet the shocks on the car are just terrible.
I mean, I he's probably driving like the worst car you've ever seen. I'm just assuming.
Anyway. It's probably not good. They're probably getting very pissed off. According to the University of Adelaide, that's in Australia, isn't it? Adelaide, of toxicology, an untreated bite has a mortality rate of 50-60%.
That's not good.
Bites from a king cobra may result in a rapid fatality, which can be as early as 30 minutes after envenomation.
I feel like this should be like a Z in there, envenomization. But that's just me.
That's how I wanted to say it.
Yeah, because that sounds right. But
envenomization, but no, envenomation.
Envenomate. I don't even like that.
Well, hey, look, I didn't make up the fucking word, all right? Some other guy did.
Yeah, how about you call it? All right, anyways. King cobras are the world's longest poisonous snake and can reach 18 feet in length.
Holy shit.
Hai I'm probably not pronouncing any of this right, but what fuck do I give? Hai was transporting the snakes in green sacks.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't even a box.
You're so right. No, he didn't even have the box. He had green sacks full of poisonous cobras.
Well, okay. Keep going, because I'm curious what the sack was made out of. Because it just says green sack, and that tells me nothing. Are we talking like a Target bag, or are we talking like a...
I hope it was just one of those reusable fucking supermarket bags, like at Stop and Shop.
It didn't even close. It was just...
No, it's just like he just tied the little handles together.
I was hoping it was like the canvas bags that they use for the banks that has the lock on it, at least, so you can seal it.
Oh, yeah. But no, I guarantee it wasn't that good.
Apparently it wasn't even that. Okay, go on.
Hanoi police officer Dang Van Han. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
His parents are German.
Yeah, the Van, right?
The Van Hongs.
It's just a German Asian man stated that the cobras were transported to a wildlife rescue center where they were treated before being released back into their natural habitat. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
What were they treated for?
I don't know. Dehydration or something?
Being carsick?
Being stuck in a sack? King cobra meat is prized in Vietnam, where it is considered a delicacy. Of course it is. However, the Vietnamese government has outlawed the hunting and trading of the snake. The cobras are sometimes used in traditional medicines as well.
No.
So, I mean, I'm wondering how much he possibly could have gotten in money for these. Although he was just the transporter guy, it sounds like.
He was just the middleman. He was a patsy.
He was. He's just a user.
He thought there were regular cobras in there, not king cobras.
Yeah, he didn't know how. Oh my god. Let me see here.
Well, hang on. I'm still on the Wikipedia page, and okay. It says they are vulnerable. Is their conservation status?
Vulnerable. Because right.
You said that they were outlawed.
It was outlawed to hunt them in Vietnam, yeah.
But they're still vulnerable. I guess maybe they're bordering on extinction in Vietnam.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because it just seems like a weird thing to outlaw. Or maybe it was just so dangerous. They were like, look, we gotta outlaw this.
Yeah, I mean... It might be just one of those weird things. It's like you can't transport king cobras because just too many people have tried it and it's just not a good idea. I mean, I know in Massachusetts, I've heard that it's against the law to drive your car with a gorilla in it.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Yeah, and it's like just because some douchebag probably did it one time, so they're like, all right, let's just make it a law.
All right, so somebody was trying to transport king cobras, and like a kid probably got bit or something, or somebody important, and they just decided to outlaw it. But I mean, really, what's the policing of the king cobra smuggling ring? Like, what are they doing really in Vietnam?
I can't imagine law enforcement is that strong in Vietnam.
I mean, it's probably sufficient enough for the people.
I guess, but I mean, I'm assuming that if I were to somehow get hold of a king cobra here and drive it across town, no one would notice. And I'm assuming that the police are a lot more wary of shit here than they are in Vietnam. You can probably get away with a lot more.
Yeah, unless maybe that's something that they look for over there. Like over here, they look for like drunk drivers and shit.
They don't look for snakes.
So they're not looking for snakes. But you think, I mean, like if they see a bunch of like green sacks or something in somebody's car, you think they pull them over?
Like not only do I think you've had too much rice wine, but you're also carrying a bunch of green sacks in your car. I know you got snakes.
And he's like, no, it's, I don't know, what do they eat in Vietnam?
Rice?
Well, I was trying to think of like a fruit.
Sacks of,
nectarines. They love, yeah, nectarines. They love nectarines fruits. Over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Let's see.
I'm just saying, maybe the Vietnamese police are being a lot more vigilant against snakes than they would be in Quincy.
It's definitely possible.
Oh, mango?
Yeah, mangoes. Definitely mangoes.
Mangostrine?
What's that?
I don't know.
Is that like a combination between a mango and a tangerine?
I don't know. It looks purple. Yeah, I'll look that up.
Purple fruit?
Rambutans.
The only purple fruit I eat, and it's not a fruit, it's a fucking eggplant.
Let's see. Pineapples, dragon fruit.
Dragon fruit?
Star apple.
I don't even know what this shit is. Although then again, as of about 5 years ago, I didn't know what a fucking pomegranate was either.
Nah, that's true. Dragon fruit, I've never seen one. Except on TV, and they talk about it's one of those things that's like just a nice foreign ingredient to add, and you'll see like I think
Iron
like
Chef.
Yeah, and I think like vitamin water has like something with dragon fruit flavoring in it or something like that. Like a lot of like the higher end like fancy energy juices and shit have like dragon fruit flavoring.
Fancy schmancy.
Papaya. Sapodilla, which looks like it's made out of basically wood. Like, it just looks like a wooden fruit.
It looks like wood. Oh, that sounds awesome.
There's jackfruit.
Jackfruit? I've never even heard of any of this shit.
Jackfruit? Okay, jackfruit looks like a, based on this picture right here, it looks like a, kind of like a piece of pineapple with a, with a walnut stuck in the middle.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. It doesn't, it doesn't look good. And then there's coconut. So it's, you know.
Okay. All right. I can deal with that.
Let's see. Mangosteens as small as a tennis ball with a dark violet cover. Mangosteen is the unique fruit of Southeast Asia region. Using a sharp knife to peel off the rough upper part, you will see the white pulp arranged in equal segments. The meat of the fruit is heavenly delicious, soft, sour, and sweet.
Did like a Japanese man write this?
Actually, no, it's from Vietnam Online channel, and I'm guessing they just said fuck it and put this in a translator. Okay, so the meat of the fruit is heavenly delicious, soft, sour, and sweet, creating the light and pure refreshment. Mangosteen is sold widely in southern Vietnam. It is grown predominantly in the south of Vietnam. Its main growing season is from June to August, so time's coming up.
Coming up.
So if you come to Vietnam during this time, you can indulge yourself with this amazing fruits. For as little as $2 per kilogram.
Oh, because I know what that means.
Oh. A tip. A tip for choosing the best one is don't be greedy. Go with the smaller and darker color one, and the fruit will be sweeter and more concentrated. The big size mangosteen does not have as much flavor and is... I'm guessing they want usually. It just says S-U-A-L-L-Y. I'm going to say is usually more costly. So.
I mean, is the mangosteen just like the Jewish cousin of the mango?
I feel like it doesn't look anything like a mango.
I don't know.
Hang on, let me see.
It's the cheap version.
let's see. Oh, okay, here's a little information on the dragon fruit.
Oh, excellent.
Its cover can be peeled off easily when the fruit is ripe, revealing the white gelatinous meat.
Oh, it sounds so appetizing.
The pulp contains countless tiny black seeds that cannot be extracted, giving the sweet and sour taste.
also sounds great.
Dragon fruit's harvest season is in October, November, April, and May. So you gotta, you better get over there soon.
Yeah, I'm getting on that.
Hang on, let me look at the one that I described as being made of wood. It just, literally, that's what it looks like. This fruit is grown mostly in northern Vietnam, with the shape of an egg and browner skin. When ripe, the brown and yellow pulp is very juicy and has a molasses-like taste.
Mm.
Oh, it offers fruit every month of the year.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it's like the it's like eating a pine cone.
It sounds so good.
All right, so
hey kids, we got some crab apples.
some sapodillas.
What the fuck is a sapodilla?
That's the one I was just talking about.
Oh, the tree bark one.
Yeah.
Nice.
The pine cone.
Pine cone, right.
The Asian pine cone.
Yeah. Ugh, sounds awesome. Not really related to the fruit, but an interesting little anecdote here. Apparently, it says about the king cobra, the venom is not as strong as some snakes, but enough is produced in a single bite to kill a fully grown elephant. I mean, what the fuck are you doing with these in your car?
Yeah. Why? Well, okay, first of all,
it's a delicacy.
If you're going to put them in your car, why not put them in a fucking box or something?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's stupid. The whole thing is dumb. This guy is an idiot. So he also, another note here, he was stopped by police for violating traffic laws. There was another man in the car as well and fled when police pulled them over.
Wait a minute. There were two guys dumb enough to do this?
There was two guys in the car. One bolted. And yeah, they had 53 cobras in the car.
All right, so I mean the cobras had to be in like the back seat or something.
Let's see, I'm trying to.
Or because the guy fucking bolted, then they were like, "All right, we gotta look through the whole car." Well, sure. I mean, I'm applying American law here.
Yeah.
So I mean, really, it's quite possible in Vietnam the cops can do whatever the fuck they want.
That's true too. King cobras have cultural significance in and are used by female snake charmers in Burma and India, where whenever a cobra is killed, the head is either crushed or burned to damage the eyes completely in accordance with local mythology, which says the picture of a killer of a king cobra is kept in the eyes of the snake and then later is picked up by the partner and used to hunt down the killer for revenge.
Wait.
What the fuck?
Hang on, back up. Read that part again. Let's break that down.
King cobras have cultural significance and are used by female snake charmers in Burma and in India.
Okay.
Neither of those are Vietnam. When a cobra is killed, the head is either crushed or burned to damage the eyes completely in accordance with local mythology. The local mythology says that the picture of a killer of a king cobra is kept in the eyes of the snake. I mean, apparently the snake has photographic memory.
It's like, I can't believe I'm about to make this pull. It's like was it Wild Wild West?
Oh no.
Where they
have to go in.
Where they shine the light into the guy's head and it projects an image onto the wall of the train. Am I making that up? I mean, that was in a movie. I think it was Wild Wild West.
I honestly don't. I don't remember.
Hang on. Wild Wild West, Candle Head. Candle. We'll just try Candlehead.
Yeah, Candlehead, yeah. You're just going to get a picture of some guy with a head made out of a candle.
Probably. I got nothing. Candle projector. Let's try that. Ooh, fun facts here. Let's try that. Let's see.
About candle projectors or about Wild Wild West?
According to Gordon, who's Gordon? Fuck, I'm assuming it was the white guy in the movie.
I think it was
the white guy. Because I'm pretty sure Will Smith was James West. The retinal terminus theory claims that a dying person's last conscious sight is burned into the back of his eyes, and to prove it, he has Morton's head hooked up to an old-fashioned candle projector displaying the lay professor's last image, McGrath.
Wow.
Wow, I can't believe I just pulled from fucking Wild Wild West.
Yeah, that movie really sucked.
Yeah.
Huh. Well...
okay, so basically, the theory in Vietnam is that, or no, I'm sorry, in India and Burma?
Yeah, known as Myanmar.
Is that the other snakes, the other king cobras can come up, take the head of the deceased king cobra, do the same thing.
Yeah, and get on the train, use the candle projector.
Yeah. They talk to what's his face. Oh, hang on.
Oh, you're looking for his real name.
I was trying to figure out, remember who the actor was.
It was someone fairly well known, wasn't it?
I thought so. And I can't think of his name. He was in In-N-Out, too. Kevin Klein.
Kevin Klein.
Yeah, so the stinks go. They talk to Kevin Klein. They speak the Harry Potter snake tongue.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, find out the motherfucker that did this, or we'll bite you and you'll die in 30 minutes. So he hooks up the whole thing with the tiny little candle. They find it, and then they go, thanks, and then they leave and kill whoever did it. Is that...
Yeah.
Is that basically what Myanmar's
that theory is? Pretty much what they're saying.
Okay. All right. I'll buy it. I'm in.
Yeah. I'm down. King cobras prey mostly on other snakes and are found predominantly in the forests in Southeast Asia from India to Indonesia.
Huh. Now, do you think they look for, because it just said they prey on each other, right?
Other snakes, yeah.
So do you think that they do the Kevin Klein projector thing? If a king cobra kills another king cobra? Or do you think they just don't care about that?
That, I don't know. That might be, what do you think, that they're like, you killed another king cobra, you're getting the death penalty?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm curious here. Is there a loophole, like if you're standing in front of the king cobra to distract it, you are.
Okay.
And I come up behind it and I kill it.
Yeah.
They're going to come after you.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because you're going to be the last thing that it sees, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Because they ain't going to have no Henry Fonda to convince all the 12 other guys with 12 other snakes that, hey, maybe things don't add up here.
Hmm. Yeah, their system's a little flawed.
We really have to reform the King Cobra justice system here.
Well, I think we got to talk to them.
Who's a good snake guy? Let's get a snake guy on there. We'll get.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we know a snake guy?
Snake Plissken?
Eh, not for me.
What? Okay.
I was thinking someone we knew, but never mind. I guess we don't know anyone that's into snakes.
Wait, actually, my future father-in-law is into snakes.
Oh, really?
Yes. He probably won't help us, and he will probably take his daughter away, far away from me, but...
Why, if we mention this to him?
Yes.
I wanted a snake once. I like snakes. They're okay. Like, little ones. Like, I don't want some big-ass fucking snake creeping. You know, I wanted like a little one of those little corn snakes, or like a banana snake or something. They're kind of, you know, they're cool. I've never had a snake. And I really only didn't know that many people that had snakes either.
He does, or he used to do a bit with, I think, like breeding snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And he would go to like all the shows and stuff.
So. Dude, snake sex must be weird.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I mean, you would assume, right? I bet we could find it on YouTube.
Snake sex?
Snake sex, yeah. Although you might look something up, like Google snake sex and just see two giant dicks rubbing against each other.
Okay, hang on. I think I found something here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I guess this is really it. This is the description. Two carpet pythons. Yeah.
Carpet?
Yeah. Make love. Cut from a 12-minute original.
Make love.
In the final act, one of the snakes looks into the camera, and then they both depart their separate ways.
I mean, this sounds amazing.
It just kind of looks like they're wrestling.
Yeah.
They're just basically intertwining with each other a lot.
Huh.
Their heads are next to each other. There's no kissing. No foreplay, it looks like.
Snakes kissing.
There's no foreplay.
Snake blowjobs.
No toys involved. It seems very boring. It just all kind of seems to be the same position.
Snake blowjobs must be nuts, though. I mean, some serious deep throating.
Oh my god, this fucking weird ass guy, Mr. Snake Sex, is actually.
Mr. Snake Sex?
Is actually his name. He only has apparently this one video up, and he uploaded it September 25th, 2009.
Mr. Snake Sex.
But he did like a close-up of what I think was either their midsection or their neck. Or their tail. I'm really not sure. It just looked like, you know, the part of the snake that wasn't the head or the tail rubbing against each other. I feel like this guy should be bit.
I'm sorry, this is just too weird.
I feel like this guy should be. Oh my god, one of them really does kind of like look up at the camera a little bit.
I'm looking at some pictures of snake sex. Oh.
Oh, I'm okay, hang on. The Robert 346 says, that's not snake sex. It's two males fighting over territory because they can sense a female is nearby. What they do is try and force one or the other to the ground without biting.
I mean, why wouldn't they just bite each other?
I mean, I don't know.
Ugh. Oh, what the hell? I don't know what this is. Oh, no, that two snakes having sex. Oh, they're all intertwined and stuff.
Oh, I found your video. Snakes having sex, a Daily Greg instant classic.
A Daily Greg instant classic?
Yeah, it starts with him heavily breathing, and then he goes, it's nature with Greg. So, apparently someone has...
I don't like the sound of that at all.
Apparently someone has started a show about nature without me.
Huh, well, you know, I wanted you in there, but I thought you just might get a little weird with the snakes.
The Daily Greg, his channel is Stinker Flat One. Why couldn't you just go with the Daily Greg or like Nature Greg? You joined in 2006, you had time to plan this out.
Yeah. Oh, because anyone doing this shit is probably really weird.
That's a good point.
All right, so, oh my god.
Oh god, what are you watching, Greg?
No, I just Google image searched snake penis.
Why would you do that?
I don't know what this is. I think it's just a snake that looks like a penis, but I don't like it.
Oh god.
Did you just look at it?
Yeah, I think
it made me feel weird. I think it's a snake that looks like a dick.
Hang on.
I don't think I can look at it again.
Oh god. Penis snake discovered in Amazon looks exactly as you'd think. The penis snake is totally safe for work, even though it looks exactly as you'd think. The unusual species gained its not safe for work nickname because of its appearance. A broad, rounded head atop a thick, cylindrical body, fleshy body. But this phallic squirmer isn't a snake at all, but an extremely rare, limbless amphibian. Oh, so it's not a snake at all.
Oh, that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah.
Or a dick of a different color, I don't know.
Well, you should get that checked out.
You know, I don't like it because I don't think it has eyes.
Legless and lungless, this aquatic animal is thought to breathe through its skin. Of the six we collected, one died, three were released back into the wild, and another two were kept for studies. I'm curious what those studies were.
I don't know. I don't like this thing. I can't. I gotta stop looking at it. Not for me. I'll just go back and look at snake sex again. Man, I was gonna try to find a picture of a snake penis. I was curious what they looked like.
Okay, look up. You can look up snake penis, but go to the web search, and there's a thing called a hepi penis, or a hemi penis. Is one of a pair of intromittent organs of male squamates, snakes, lizards, and worm lizards. They're usually held inverted within the body and are exverted for reproduction via erectile tissue. Only one is used at a time. Wait, there's more than one?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Only one is used at a time, and some evidence indicates males alternate use between copulations.
A hemi penis.
The hemi penis itself has a variety of shapes depending on species. Often the hemi penis bears spikes or hooks in order to anchor the male within the female. Holy shit.
Each hemi penis has two tips. Yeah, I don't. You know what? I think I'm all set with snake sex.
Okay. You sure? I mean.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's for me. I think I'm done with that. It sounds very painful and gross.
This is where Greg signs off the podcast, turns to the anaconda in the glass case and goes, "Well, I guess you're going back to the pet store."
I guess I don't need you. Oh, yeah, I'm all set.
Man, that restocking fee is going to kill me.
Yeah, I know. That was an expensive snake.
Or you're trying to flush him down the toilet.
It's going to be like all the, you know, the alligators in the sewers.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
I think it happened at least once.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it happened at least once. Beyond that, I don't think it's as common as people say.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, these people in these big cities back in the day used to have fucking alligators, or like to get them when they were little, and then they'd get rid of them or flush them down the toilet or something, and because it was warm or whatever and there was a food source, they'd live in the sewer. And I always thought it was kind of possible, but I don't know.
Well, there's all these fucking things that are like, you know, warning to all women. Gangs have been using car seats on the side of highways to lure women out of their cars. So if you see a car seat on the side of the road, don't approach it because gang members will jump out of nowhere and rape you and steal your money.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's ridiculous. Why would gang members try to lure random people into crimes? Because really, gangs are interested in really fighting with other gangs, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
For the most part.
You know, or just committing real crimes to, like, make money and shit.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just out to, like, just kill random people, usually.
Yeah, I looked it up, and they were like, yeah, there's no evidence of this ever happening, ever. And then they did a similar thing, and they said that women should be on the lookout for kids that come up to them and say that they're lost or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, they try, and, like, they give you a number, or they tell you where they live, or something like that, and you're supposed to go there. And then these gang members are just hanging out there. It's like the fucking, like, flashing your high beams.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then if you do it back, they'll chase you or something, and...
Yeah,
and then,
like, murder you or shit like that, and it's just like...
Yeah.
No, they won't. They won't. I maybe at some point some fucked up person did it, but it's not, like, it's not a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that story a million times. Like, oh, man, you'll flush your high beam. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, go away.
And for, of course, at first, I was, like, a little kid, and I was like, oh, my God, really? You know, because I'm going to be driving so often as an 8-year-old.
8-year-old is the thing, where when you're 8, driving is the thing grown-ups do. So you're like, oh, man, there's just so much I have to learn.
It's a whole other world. You don't know. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. You flash your high beams at someone, they're going to murder you.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do I know any better?
Yeah, you're like, I'm 8. I figured out that the wheel moves the car.
Yeah.
There's a brake, and there's a stoppy pedal and a goey pedal, and I know I go 3 clicks down to go forward. And, I mean, I thought that was it. I thought it was really fucking simple, but... Apparently, there's a whole lot of shit I gotta learn.
Yeah, there's murders going on, and yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's why my dad never came back when he went out for a pack of cigarettes. I don't know.
Yeah, went out for those Newports and never returned.
And then one day he realizes, holy shit, my dad was just a huge dick, and nobody actually does this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap that up with that business.
This has been But You're Wrong. I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodela.
Make sure you check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast, on the book at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong, also on the YouTube at youtube.com/ButYou'reWrong, correct?
BYW Podcast.
BYW Podcast, motherfucker. And make sure you check out Keith on the Amazon Marketplace with Not My Problem and, oh my God, Work in Progress. And make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday. We got new episodes. And Keith, anything?
When you go on iTunes, make sure you hit the subscribe button because that'll really help us out and that'll make sure you don't miss anything. And if you have the time, give us a little rating in that little iTunes store. Let us know what you think. If you are following us because you listen to the show, if you follow us on Twitter, send us a message. Just, you know, mention us. And maybe in the future we'll give you a little shout out on the show.
Sounds good. Remember, everyone, no regrets. And if you're driving in the car... The only snake you better have is a trouser snake.